Welcome to the Seeds Excess Youth Podcast. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Friday night service. You make me feel so.
So I'm really excited, guys, to be able to start our new series, Measure Up. What I'm going to start talking about tonight is comparison and how we compare ourselves to others. We're first going to start with a quick game. What this is going to involve is I'm going to have two photos on the screen, and then I'm going to ask for you to vote for which one's your favourite. So if we can get the first one up. Alrighty, classic Pepsi versus Coke. So who would say Pepsi is their favourite? I'm a Pepsi Max man. Not many. Alright, who would say Coke is their favourite? Yeah, Coke definitely has it. Alright, next one. We've got Samsung versus iPhone. So iPhone 10 got launched today, which is interesting. All right, who would go Samsung? I reckon we're outnumbered, maybe. All right, who would go iPhone? Sheep. No, that's all right. All right, so how about if we go next one? All right, classic Hungry Jack's versus Macca's. Do you go the Whopper or the Big Mac, or are you more of a Storm or McFlurry? Or as my wife used to call it, a McFlurry. I never heard of that. All right, who would go Macca's? Yeah. All right, who would go Hungry's? I reckon that's pretty split there. I reckon that's about half-half. All right, next one. All right, I'll explain this. Now, are you meant to keep sauce in the fridge or the cupboard? No. So I had this, discussion with my wife and her family. They put the sauce in the fridge because they say on the bottle it says refrigerate after use. Who listens to instructions? Seriously. Who wants cold sauce on their chips, hot chips? Yeah, amen, amen. Alrighty, who would say sauce in the fridge? Oh, it's close. All right, who would say sauce in the cupboard? I'm going with cupboard. You got me there, Bailey. Alrighty, next one up. Alrighty, so this is the excess classic, toilet paper. Do you scrunch that bad boy when you're in the bathroom with your toilet paper, or do you fold it? Alright, who would be a scruncher? I'm surprised. Alright, folder? Fold? Alright. I reckon we've got more folders, but I also reckon there's about half of you not voting, so that doesn't help. All right, guys, now this is what it's all led up to. This is the most important one, and if you don't listen to anything tonight, so it's beard or no beard. So I'm actually leaving it up to you guys. So I've had this beard since Easter camp, and I've had discussions with my wife. She's never told me that she hates it. She's also never told me that she loves it. So I'm willing to put it all on the line tonight, and so your vote will determine whether I keep the beard or the beard goes. So guys, I need everyone to vote, and it's really important to me that you vote for the beard. Or not the beard, for Jazz. Hey! You guys are meant to be my small group. Alrighty, who would vote for the beard stays? I reckon that is pretty good. Anyway, who says shave the beard? All right, I might go once more. I might go it again just so I can definitely. But what do you reckon, Jazz? All right, who says keep the beard? Oh boy. Who says shave? Now, they're really loud, but that doesn't count. I reckon it's half half, so I'm going to have to. All right, we'll flip a coin after the service. I think that's what I'm going to have to do. I really thought it was going to be beard overwhelming, but that's all right. All righty, we'll get to some serious stuff now. So comparing ourselves to others is something that we all do, and we actually do it pretty often. It might be how you compare yourself to another, how they did on a test, how you play sport, how you look, how many friends you have. Comparing ourselves to others is not innately wrong, but when it actually leaves us with a negative feeling, feeling like we don't measure up and we're inadequate, that really doesn't line up with what God says. So we're going to start with Ecclesiastes 4, verse 4. Put that up on the screen. And I saw that all toil and all achievement springs from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. So in this verse, the writer's describing how people put work and effort into doing certain things so that they can outclass others, gain greater success and wealth, and that people really put value in how they measure up against other people. So I'll sit down often and watch the NBA, and I'll watch them play, and I'll just think to myself, wow, I wish I could dunk the basketball. How much better would my life be if I could dunk? Does anyone else agree? Yeah, good. Alrighty. Growing up with two brothers as well, in my house, everything was a competition. It was always who could be better at this, who could be better at that. And as the older brother, I always had to make sure that I was better than them. This would involve sport, Nintendo, even eating dinner as fast as we could. I don't even know why that was a thing. But it's really sad in an older sibling's life when it gets to the day that your younger sibling is actually taller than you. And it was pretty early for me. Like, I was like 14 or 15, and Josh had already had a growth spurt and was already taller than me. That was a really sad day in my life. So recently, my family's got out the old VHS tapes to watch our old family videos. Does anyone not know what a VHS tape is? Oh, good, yep. That's the old thing before DVDs. And so when we're watching these videos, it's really highlighted that everything was a competition. We're always arguing, telling the camera who was better at something than someone else. So I've actually got a short video of myself and my little brother when we were about 4 and 3, and there's my mum doing her best David Attenborough impersonation, doing a bit of a voiceover. So it's about a minute long, so I don't know how the volume's going to be, so listen up, and we'll play that now.
Matthew loves running. He's a very fast runner. Today we've got a coffee morning and all the people from the neighbourhood are going to be coming. Joshua's must be still inside.
He's on the camera. Josh, it's too slow for me.
Oh yeah, Matthew's very fast.
Bye, Tracy.
So as you might have heard, there was me, I don't know why I'd always kept saying this, but tell the camera that I'm faster than Josh. He can't keep up with me. And I really think that might be that bowl cut that was really holding him back. I'm really looking forward to that coming back in fashion so Josh can rock that again. So even if we look it back at the disciples' life, you'd think that they were with Jesus in his ministry times. He was with them for a few years. You'd think they would have been at his feet, soaking up everything he had to say, instead of actually comparing and competing to see who was the greatest. And it's actually recorded in the Bible, not once, but actually twice, of them arguing on who was actually the greatest. So on one time in Mark 9, they're walking down the road. I'm assuming Jesus was with them, but didn't say anything. So they're walking down arguing who is actually the greatest. I love how Jesus does it. He waits until they've actually got to the place. And he asks them, oh, what were you guys actually arguing on the road? And it's funny how the realization, the disciples, they don't say anything because they realize how stupid it was that they were arguing about. The second time is they're actually celebrating the Passover. And what they didn't realize was this was actually the Last Supper with Jesus before he was crucified and raised from the dead. So Jesus goes and tells them. So they've been living in close community for a few years and they're seeing all of Jesus' ministry. And so Jesus tells them, one of you is going to betray me. So that's massive news. And then in Luke 22, the next line is, and also a dispute arose among them on who was considered to be the greatest. So you've got Jesus saying, one of you is going to betray me. And then they're going, oh, you know what? Who actually reckons the greatest? It's funny the logic that the disciples had. So Jesus quickly bites in the bud both times and tells them their idea of being the greatest was not what they thought about it. It was actually about humbling themselves and serving. So one way that we so easily compare ourselves to others is Facebook and other social media. Who, with myself included, would probably spend more time on social media scrolling through your newsfeed than actually watching TV these days? Anyone else? Yeah. There's a fair few of us. It really highlights that our lives are so centered on social media that wherever we can be, we can see what others are doing, what they're achieving. We can tell others how we're feeling or what is on our mind. It's like if you go on a holiday or if you climb Mount Lofty, it didn't actually happen unless you put it on social media. And when we sit on our phones and our computers, it's very easy to see someone else's posts and be a bit jealous and envious and feel like you're inadequate compared to them. Often when we do this, we're actually comparing our whole lives and everything that goes behind the scenes with other people's highlights. And that's what social media is. It's highlights. It's when you take a photo and you put it up, you're not taking one photo and then putting it up. It's often one chosen from a bunch, and it's often heavily edited with filters and the like. Has anyone heard of a page, Boyfriends of Instagram? So it's a great page. It's a page where they'll put up photos. It'll be a photo of someone else taking a photo of their boyfriend or girlfriend. And often the photographer is in a very strange position, either up on a ledge or down on the ground or in the water, just so that they can get the best possible view. And I'm just going to put up a photo of one that's on that page. So if you have a look at the top photo, you see this girl here, she's glistening in the sun, that she's smiling, looks like she's in this really nice field, everything's happy. And then you see the actual photo, it's a guy taking a photo of her in some gungy garden with weeds and some weird wall with some black marks over the side of it. And I think, when we're actually comparing ourselves, we don't know what's going on behind in the photo, we actually see this idealized version. Because you're not going to often see people boasting on social media how they've never had a boyfriend, never had a girlfriend, they failed a test, they didn't get a kick in football, they went on their family holiday to Christie's Beach instead of America. Not there's anything wrong with that. Measuring yourself against other people's highlights, it's very easy to feel like you don't measure up. And if you see yourself on social media as where you get your value, then you're going to actually end up feeling deflated. So Theodore Roosevelt, former president of the United States, said that comparison can be the thief of joy. If we think about the situation where you've studied hard for a test, you've put in the hard work, and then the teacher comes around with a stack of papers, she plops one down on your table, and you see that you've got a B+. And so you're stoked with that B+, you're really happy with the time and effort you've put in. But then you see the test paper that gets put to the neighbour next to you, which you think maybe not be as smart as you or hasn't put in much time and effort, and you see that they got an A. And it's funny how your satisfaction suddenly, you just lose a bit of that satisfaction because that other person has done better than you. And we actually let that rob us of some of our joy just because of that other person. Some of you are probably thinking, I got a B+, awesome, I'm running around the room, I don't care. But it definitely does apply to that and other situations. So what then do we achieve out of comparing with others? So when we compare with others and we get those negative thoughts, we're actually hearing the voice in your head saying, you're not good enough, you're inadequate. And we really need to know that that's not actually a voice from God. It's a voice in our head accusing us, nagging, telling you aren't as smart, you aren't as pretty, you'll never be as good as them. And that voice, plain and simply, is the devil, it's Satan. In the Bible, he is described as the accuser and the father of lies. Listening to that words will only bring you down in how you value yourself. It's funny how, I've done devotions or preached on something before, that you actually get challenged in this area. I was preparing this sermon and I was just thinking about how I was going to deliver it. And then there was this thoughts popping into the back of my head, just telling me, you know what, Matt? You're not going to be able to deliver it the same as Sam did last week. He's running around being really charismatic. You're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to be as wise as Shane and Christy. And then I just had to suddenly stop myself and recognize, where is that voice coming from? That's not God. That's the devil. So I just had to, as soon as I actually realized and recognized, hey, I'm not listening to that. It's funny how I gained a sense of peace overcome me and actually felt confident that I was able to deliver this message. So if we come back to Ecclesiastes 4, verse 4, if we can chuck it up on there again. Comparing ourselves in this negative way, it is described as meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Has anyone read the book of Ecclesiastes before? So there's a lot of talk about meaninglessness, and it uses the phrase chasing after the wind 9 times before this verse, and it's only 4 chapters in. I think chasing after the wind is a great analogy. So if you think about it, it's a windy day, you're outside, you're chasing that wind, I don't know why, but you are. Now, whether you chase that wind for 10 seconds, 10 minutes, or 10 hours, have you actually achieved anything? Have you got closer to your goal of catching the wind? I'm yet to see someone that's done that. And if you think about it, the time that you've actually spent chasing that wind, you've actually wasted that time. And it's the same when we compare ourselves to others and wallow in that feeling of inadequacy, that is that actually achieving anything? And that time is actually wasted. So what then can we do to stop comparing and find peace? A practical way to get over comparing yourself to others and feeling bad is if someone does better than you at something or is successful in something, instead of being envious and jealous, how about we actually be happy for someone's success? So I think sometimes in our culture, we find it really easy to be even that slight bit happy when you see someone fail. So you just know that you don't have to actually measure up to what they've set. You don't have to measure up to that bar. But I know that if you've achieved something and you've had success in something, how frustrating it is when someone tells you, all you want to do is boast, or not boast, but tell them how well you've done. And they say, oh, do you know what? I did that first. Or I've actually done that a lot better before. And that really brings you down. I know in my relationships, I'm actually looking, well, I have found someone, yes. I look in relationships and friendships to find someone that actually builds me up and can celebrate my successes. And so in your friendship circles, I really look for people that actually can celebrate your successes and be that friend to your friends. Right, and another thing to know is, do you know what? It's actually okay not to be perfect at everything, to not be as good as someone at something else, and to actually have weaknesses. So in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.' You are strong in our weaknesses." I believe this runs true not just with only with persecution and physical struggle, but that we all have weaknesses, and that in those weaknesses, if we turn to God for our strength, he's actually able to get alongside of us and work in those situations. And he's actually able to do even more than what we can ever imagine. On the same point, in Romans 12, it actually speaks how the body has many members with different functions and different strengths. And it's just the same in Christ. So you and me, we're all members, and we actually have different strengths and different functions. Unless you're Michael Jordan or Don Bradman, there's likely going to be someone that is actually better at you at a chosen thing. An example for me is if I can compare myself to some people on the band. So how great was the band tonight? Yeah, and they always are. So I will easily challenge anyone else here to have the least musical talent out of anyone. I'm a terrible singer, and my highlight of my musical career was my year 3 recital of Titanic to the class. Straight after that, I gave up because I had no musical talent. But do you know what? That's actually not my function in the body of Christ. God has actually blessed me with different strengths, and it's a real challenge for me not to focus on my weaknesses, but to actually focus on my strengths and actually use them for his kingdom. So when we're feeling inadequate, and we're just consider where you're actually getting your value and what voice are you listening to. So if you listen to God's word, we actually have God's word. We've got the Bible in front of us. So if we crack open Psalm 139, you could read the whole chapter, but today I'm just going to read a few verses. It talks about how God knows us and how he values us as a special creation. From verse 13, it talks of, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because you are, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. How awesome is that? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And then in Genesis, it describes that we are created in the image of God, that we have a part of his character inside of us. And then if I go to the 1 John 3:1-2, see what great love the Father has sprinkled on us. No, it doesn't use that term sprinkled. It uses the term lavished. So when you talk about lavished, it's like a pouring out of love. The way I see it is you've got your cup there, you've run out of water, and you need God to refill it. And so instead of him just getting a jug and pouring it there, he puts a damn waterfall above your head and soaks you. And then it says, from then on, it says, we should be called children of God. As children of God, we're part of his family. That's where our identity is. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Reading those passages, are we listening to that nagging voice in our head telling us that we're not good enough? Or are we actually listening to God's voice, which states how wonderfully we are made, how we have part of his character inside of us, that the love that he's poured out, and that we're his children, part of his family? As in Christ, our identity is in Christ. No, as Christians, we're not Christ. As Christians, our identity is Christ, and he determines our worth. I won't get stuck too much into identities. We're going to cover that next week. I'm really looking forward to that. But I just want you to consider, did you turn up tonight feeling really heavy with a weight on your shoulders, feeling like you don't measure up and you are inadequate? I really want you to consider what it says in Matthew 11:28. Come on, water. Bit of suspense. Thanks. There we go. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As this passage states, peace is found in God, and that's where our identity and worth is. God wants us to follow his ways and not to waste time constantly comparing yourself to others, feeling inadequate and feeling like we don't measure up. If tonight you feel like you are burdened and heavy from comparison, I really feel that Jesus actually wants to set you free of that tonight. He really wants to take away that burden and allow you to live where you feel at rest and actually be confident in who you are in Christ and who he made you to be and to be able to work in his kingdom. So let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you're a God of love and a God of peace. Thank you that you meet us where we are at, no matter where we are in our faith or how we're feeling tonight. I just really pray for anyone feeling the burden of just measuring up to others. I just pray that you just remove those feelings and just to replace that with your love and your peace. Help us to listen to your voice and just of what you tell us, that we're your children. I just pray, just for an overwhelming sense of love and peace and just to really remove any negative feelings and negative thoughts popping into our heads. I just pray all these things in your name. Amen.